authority. And that doesn't mean just a periodic dime for our... Do you have quarters, too, in Canada? In the tin cup of a beggar on the street corner. Either the wealthy share or they won't be saved. Second, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Clearly, there is a laudable mourning. I distinguish theologically between sorrow and sadness. Sorrow is the mourning that Christ blesses in the Beatitudes. And Christ is our model for true mourning, true sorrow. Christ, remember, wept at the grave of Lazarus, remember? And Christ wept over Jerusalem. We may, therefore, and we're followers of Christ, if we are sorrowful over the loss of those by death or disability or what is the hardest rejection by those we've loved. You know what I'm talking about. And sorrow, legitimate mourning over people's sins. If Christ could weep over the sins of Jerusalem, what tears we should be shedding over the crimes in our modern world. Only one problem. The crimes condemned by God have now been legalized by man. I'll go further. They have been legislated by man. For they shall be comforted. The word comfort in context means they shall be strengthened. Strengthened to bear their sorrow and not allow their sorrow to become sadness. Sadness is sorrow that is out of control. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. There are two words, both legitimate. Blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the meek. There is a theological difference between gentleness and meekness. In both cases, a person is provoked to anger. In the case of gentleness, what restrains the anger is charity. In the case of meekness, what restrains the anger is temperance. Meekness is therefore temperance, controlling one's even legitimate anger. Oh, may I ask, is it legitimate to be angry? Is anger always a sin? You parents, they would inherit the land. What kind of land is Christ promising? In the most basic meaning that over the centuries the church has given to inheriting the land. your meekness and gentleness. They'll give you such power, such influence over the hearts of others as nothing else can supply. There's only one way to tame a wild human being, especially when you are the victim of that person's ferocity, and that is meekness. In other words, meekness and gentleness give us power over human hearts for which nothing else can supply. Over the years in teaching teachers, if you want to control an unruly class, you better be in complete control yourself. You may have to say things. Another word out of you. Say it gently. Another word out of you and I'll push your head through the wall. And you smile. And they know you mean business. Christ is our perfect model. Oh, the names. Imagine a priest on a Sunday morning telling his people, I would say between John the Baptist and Christ, they about exhausted the vocabulary of vituperation. Remember, brood of vipers. Hypocrites. Whited sepulchres. The priest might not be able to finish his sermon. But oh, very, pardon me, very gently. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Now the word righteousness is differently translated. I prefer the translation, better are they, or blessed. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for what is right, for they shall be satisfied. I think we said at least once that all unhappiness is a result of unsatisfied desires. Well, if that's true, and it is, then, think of the wisdom of watching our desires. You've got it made. All you have to do is desire the right things and, hear it, you will always be satisfied. Control your desires. It is not that some desires cannot be satisfied. Question. Can sinful desires be satisfied? Can they? I'm not saying where they should be, but can they? Yes. But that's not the point. It is not in the satisfaction of desires that our happiness lies. It is in the satisfaction of our true desires. Control your desires, and then, well, sky's the limit. All of your desires will be satisfied. Pray, thanks, Lord. But then he reminds me, you've got some homework. I know, Lord, I know. We go on. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We've touched on this before, and we'll come back to it again. Mercy is love that costs. Mercy is love that is difficult. Mercy is love that makes demands on our love. Mercy is loving unlovable people. And God will make sure that there are unlovable people to enter our lives. So what do? We love them. And in the measure that we love those who are not lovable, God then, we believe, will love us by practicing His mercy toward us. This beatitude, as we know, is the jewel in the Lord's Prayer. And, as we've mentioned before, and we cannot exaggerate the importance of seeing in every difficult, unkind, thoughtless, selfish person who enters our lives, every one of those people God puts into our lives in order that by loving them we might merit mercy from God. We go on. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Two kinds of purity understood by the church in this sixth beatitude. It is, first of all, the cleanness or the purity of heart in having a sinless heart. We referred to this before and we come back to it again. Our minds will be only as clear in seeing God. You mean seeing God, but we're not in heaven yet. Oh, my friend, we are to see God by faith already here on earth. And our minds will only be as clear in perceiving God and the meaning of what He has revealed in the measure that we have a sinless heart. A sinless heart provides a perceptive mind. However, that is not the only kind of purity implied in the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure of heart, referring to those who are sinless of heart, but also, and with emphasis, 19 centuries of Christianity teaches us the sixth beatitude refers to chastity. There is no substitute for living a chaste life if you want your mind to be clear in knowing God and understanding His will. There is nothing so darkens the intellect than unchastity. Nothing. Seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In the years of teaching spiritual theology, I tell people there are three terms that we can use for the seventh beatitude. There are the peaceful people, there are the peaceable people, and there are the peacemakers. How do they differ? A peaceful person is one who has no conflict within. A peaceable person is one who is not in conflict with others. But, my friends, nobody but nobody will be at peace with others unless he or they will be at peace within. And then peacemakers, the highest level of possessing peace, of not only being peaceful in not having internal conflict, or peaceable in being able to live with others peacefully, but will even be a channel of peace, an agency or a catalyst of peace to others. Where there are people in conflict, to be a peacemaker between them. And what's the promise for peacemakers? They shall be called children of God, special predilection from the Almighty. Finally, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The only one of the eight Beatitudes that has an extra commentary. It goes like this. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I seldom say this publicly, but this eighth beatitude has kept me sane. It has kept me sane. It is the explanation in faith why no one, and the word is no one, who sincerely wants to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, that person will be insulted, persecuted, uttered all kind of evil against that person. Opposition. That's the way it is. And there's only one mistake we can make. Thinking there's some mistake. There isn't. Either we compromise with the world, and to that extent are untrue to Christ, and then he won't get his insult and persecution and opposition. Or he will strive honestly, remain faithful to the Master. Then you say, well, Lord, that's what you said. And truer words were never spoken. And remember, it's Christ himself who reminded us that our worst opposition will be from whom? From those who should be nearest to us, because they are nearest to us, from our own family over the years. The worst opposition that I've experienced has been from my fellow priests. There is so much, so very much, locked up in that eighth beatitude that it summarizes the previous seven. Well, that's where we need, Lord, how we need your grace. But notice the promise. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are two kinds of joy on earth. There's the joy that we experience here and now, in the present. And God will provide, thanks, some of that. Well, the deepest joy is the joy born of hope. And because we believe, thank God, there's a life after death. And thank God again, it is not a temporal life after death, but eternal life. The anticipation of the joys that await us should make us happy right now, so we don't wilt under the pressure or compromise with what we know is true. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.